2002 Salt Lake Sunstone Symposium presents session number 374, a discussion of the film The Smith Family, featuring Troy Williams, Tasha Oldham, and Kim Smith.
Okay, this is Sunstone Session 374, the Smith Family Q&A with Tasha Oldham, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
And Kim Smith. Kim, we got a great introduction to you today through Tasha's film, and it's nice to meet you here. And Tasha, just for a little bit, born and raised in Magna, and she's here, and off she goes to L.A. where she lives right now as an independent freelance filmmaker. She got her degree at UC San Diego, bachelor's degree. And now she has her camera. Okay, let's just jump right into the Q&A. I'll start it. I just kind of want to know a little bit about how this whole process began, how you met, and how this all happened. And then we'll turn it over to the audience, and I'll ask you to come up and use the microphone, okay? So you have to queue up.
I just have to say how excited I am to be here and to thank you all for coming, because this is kind of how the whole film began, was here at Sunstone in the summer of 97. I had kind of set off on this journey to make a documentary about the lives of Mormon women, and I began at Sunstone and meeting the women here, and what I wanted to do was kind of share Mormon women with the world and kind of dispel the myths and misconceptions about who they were, because when I moved to Los Angeles, I encountered a lot of those stereotypes and crazy rumors.
But pregnant, brainless, clueless.
Horns, yeah. And I was going to be the one to set the world straight on who the Mormon women were diverse and strong women. So one of the aspects I wanted to cover within the film, Sisters of Zion, was homosexuality within the faith. And so I thought I could get an active lesbian Mormon to speak with me. And that didn't quite work out because they kept leaving the church. So then I thought I would talk to women who'd married gay men. And at the Mormon Women's Forum, I met a woman named Allison Dunn, who has since passed on, and she introduced me to Kim. And once we started shooting with the family, it just became quickly apparent that Kim and her family needed their own story. And so I put Sisters of Zion on the back burner and had followed their family for 3 years. And that was the beginning of the journey. And we had really no idea. I had no idea what I was doing. And I knew that I wanted to tell Kim's story from her perspective. And that's what drew me in. And her story to forgive Steve and to stay with the family and to keep it together.
I already told Troy I wanted to go first. First of all, thank you both for this. It's an amazing film. My question is for Kim. When I watched this movie with my father-in-law, who is a gay Mormon man, he turned to me as soon as it was over and asked the question that I had already decided that I was going to ask you at this session, which is, how do you think things might have gone differently had he not gotten sick?
Oh, I love that question. I don't know. I don't know how they would have gone. I'm glad we didn't have to make those choices, to be very honest with you. I'm glad we didn't have to come to those decisions, because I don't know where our lives would have gone had we not had the illness to hold us and keep us together. So I don't know. I really don't know. It could... you can let your mind wander and pick any one of a number of scenarios. And I'm hoping that had we come to the conclusion that in spite of the love that we had for each other and for our family, that had we decided that we needed to split in order to find fulfillment, I would hope that we could have done it in a, you know, in a very loving and mature way. Like I say, I'm glad we didn't have to make those decisions. And so I don't know. That's not a very good answer. That's a vague answer, but that's about as close as I can get. That was your question, too?
My question is,
Oh, bless. She wants to know how my health is now, and I appreciate that question. Thank you. I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. Thank you. You're all so kind. And I am. I'm doing well. I've been involved in research protocols back in the at the National Institutes of Health in Washington for about the last 6 years. And I have what I consider the greatest medical care on both ends of the country, there and here, and have been very well supported with great medical teams who have not only been my caregivers but have become my dearest friends. So I'm doing well in that aspect. I'm doing better in control of my diabetes, just in case you wanted to know. That's everybody asks, are those numbers still that high? Now that I've had a chance to really think more about myself and to focus more on my own health, I've been able to do a better job. So I'm just stubborn enough that I'm going to do exactly what I told my doctor, and I am going to be around to see my children married, and whether or not they decide to have children is, of course, up to them, but I intend to be here to watch the process unfold.
That's a nice segue into my question, which is, how are your children? What are they doing? How's Parker?
You'll die when I tell you what Parker's doing. This film has opened, well, of course, as Tasha said, when we started this many years ago, neither one of us really knew all that was going to be involved and all that was going to be required and all the emotional investment and output that it would take. Neither did we know the ramifications that it could have, and neither did we foresee the goal achieved as we see it achieved now. We feel that all that hard parts and all the whatever that went into doing this was worth it, because we feel like the goals that we set out with in the beginning have been achieved, and that is to, in some small way, help increase awareness. And I think we've done that, and I think my children are continuing to do that in the lives that they lead. Parker, as a result of this film, that one little two-second blip where he is stunting with one of his cheer partners landed him an opportunity to be in the new sequel to Bring It On 2, and he is in L.A. right now. Happy as can be, and having great experiences and wonderful opportunities down there. And so that's what he's doing. And he's continuing to be the person that you saw. You know, when I look at this film and I look at him at, how old was he, 15? 15. I'm amazed every time I see it that he was where he was then. And I look at both of my children and I think, what a gift they both have and what a gift they will be to everyone whose lives they touch, because they get it at such a young age. And it's interesting to have had both of them come to us in their own way and in their own words, state to both Steve and I that as hard as the hard parts were as we were living them, and as hard as they knew it would be continuing to go through the other hard parts that we had not yet experienced, that they would not give up what we had been through for the people that it was helping us to become. And I think that's a pretty wonderful and very confirming thing for us as parents to have heard. And in their own way and in their own lives and in the way that they choose to live their lives, they are touching and affecting people, and I stand in awe and admiration of them for their abilities to be able to do that. Tony just got home from his mission. He's been home about 2.5 months now, and that's been terrible and wonderful at the same time. Interesting. He's had a harder time than I think we gave him credit for. Parker and I had an opportunity to kind of work through a lot of things, and I don't think Tony's had that same opportunity. And it's been different for him to be back in our home. He's never lived in that home without Steve. And there have been a lot of things for him to have to come to terms with and deal with, and a lot of things for us, he and I, to deal with. And it's been interesting, it's been painful, and it's been enlightening all at the same time. So he is in the process of starting up at the university in the fall. And he's probably going to get married here soon, sooner than I would wish him to. But as long as he doesn't do the grandkids part for years down the road, that's fine with me. So they're doing fine. They're doing fine. Thanks for asking for them.
It's like I'm a deacon again.
Well, I promise not to bear my testimony. My daughter was in Bring It On.
Really?
Yes. But my question is, my question is, do you think that this film will influence the church in terms of the way it looks at homosexuality and in whether it encourages gay men to get married as it has done in the past? And have you had any feedback from the church?
Who said no? I heard that. No.
Will this have any impact on how the church deals with it? No, was the question I heard.
But it will have an impact on how the people deal with it.
Exactly. And that's what I before I answer that question directly, let me just preface it a little bit by saying I haven't had any response from... Well, I've had a lot of response from up there. That's been great. But a lot of... I have not had any formal reaction or communication at all. I do have to say, though, that in doing this film and in living our lives in this circumstance, I mean, it would have been easier for us to stay away where we lived for many years to deal with it, but we needed to be home and we needed to be with our families, and we knew we were coming into what could have been a possibly very difficult and painful situation. I have to tell you, it was not. It has not been, and I really don't foresee that it will be. It's been a very wonderful thing to live in my neighborhood and to associate with ward members who really, to be very honest, I had no idea what people knew. We live in a wonderful area with wonderful people. And what I saw from all this experience is people who didn't know the circumstances or who didn't feel it necessary to know the circumstances in order to love. And there were people who were willing to love without judgment and to love without knowledge or to love without full understanding. And that has been the greatest gift and blessing that's come to our life, is to realize that people at their core are good. And that if they react as their hearts tell them to, rather than getting lost in some of the constraints that have been put up, that's, to me, where the real gospel lies. And I have seen it in action in my own life, and I have watched it as people interact with each other. So I'm hoping that in just a sense of creating awareness and helping people not be afraid to love those that are outside the lines will be... a positive process, and we'll continue to move forward in that direction.
I just want to add to that. Many of you may know the film aired on PBS on June 25th on the POV season. It opened the season. And one of the greatest things about POV, which stands for Point of View, is they have this amazing discussion board where you can log on at pbs.org. And it's been the highest viewer response PBS has ever seen to a film. I mean, 1,000, I don't even know what the number is now, but within 2 weeks it was over 1,000 responses. And I do believe it has had a huge impact on how people see the Mormon Church and how they see homosexuality within the Mormon Church. And you can see it. You can see it on these boards. You can see it in the emails that Kim and I have received and in the letters and in the phone calls and in... you know, the huge, huge amount of viewer feedback. So I think for Kim and I, that has been the greatest reward, is that it has changed lives and it's changed viewpoints. And that was what we had set out to do, was to open this dialogue, to get people talking about these issues that they just assume sweep under the rug. And that's where I believe that change will happen, was within the people. I don't feel like the church is ever going to change its position, but people within can change and be more accepting of those that are different.
One of the aspects of the film, sorry, I want to get into, is on one hand, we have sort of a dual identity, a composite identity happening with with people who are incredibly Mormon to your core, and then you also move in this gay activism, which seems paradoxical. I'm curious how you've been able, both of you, have been able to negotiate this paradox in your lives when you're making this sort of a film.
I have to say, you know, it was the Mormons I was the most, I guess, a little nervous about how they were going to react to the film. And we showed this at the Sunstone Symposium in L.A., Pasadena. And they have been the most accepting and the most positive feedback than I've ever seen. I mean, it didn't matter that there were these issues of excommunication and Parker saying he's pissed at the church. And I really thought that, you know, the conservative Mormon camp was just going to kind of jump all over the film. And they haven't. They've been so incredibly accepting. And for me, that's been a humbling experience that I kind of underestimated, you know, the conservative camp. And it's been kind of the gay camp that has had the most diverse. You know, there's those who think it should have been much more about Steve and his agenda, and I was too easy on the church. And that's what's great about the film, is that everyone comes to it from a different perspective, and whatever you bring to it is kind of what you take away. And you go on this discussion board, and one of the things is Tasha Oldham is nothing but a Mormon propagandist, which I just think is hysterical, and how all I do is what I've been brainwashed to do my entire life, and that's to make the Mormon church and the Mormon people look good. And the Mormons were not really, I should say, you know, the powers that be, excited that this film was being made. I think they were very relieved when they saw it, that it wasn't, you know, slamming the church. And it was...
Do we know that they've seen it?
Oh, they've seen it. Yeah, I know they've seen it. They got a little red file about me, on me, because I've talked to the church public affairs department about it. And it was just publicized all over the country. I mean, everyone wrote about it. I mean, LA Times, New York Times, USA Today, I mean, TV Guide, everyone, you know. Even the Deseret News gave it a really great review, which we were really, really happy
only
about.
After it came out in the trib and they decided, okay.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Hold that against
them. I have a personal relationship with Peggy Stack, so she got kind of a scoop on the story. I'd promised her. Well, she was one of my confidants long ago. But going back to your question, it hasn't at all affected my faith. I mean, this was Kim's story through and through, and I didn't want it to be Tasha Oldham's perspective on the Smith family. I wanted Kim and Steve and Parker and Tony to tell their own story and to let it unfold, you know, through their voices, and not have my viewpoints on what I think, you know, was right or wrong. And I think what will happen is people will come to it, and then they can make their own, you know, decisions on Kim's choices, and then they can come away and decide for themselves and talk about it. And like I said, that's the greatest, I mean, it's the hugest reward of the filmmakers, to have people talking about your film. I mean, we've gone to festivals, and so many people have come up to me and said, you know, we went in this group and we're talking about the film for 2 and 3 hours, and we think this and they think this, and that's what's great about it, that you can go back and forth and, you know, agree or not agree.
Now, in all that, I've lost the initial question, but before I answer your question, let me just pay great tribute to Tasha for being true to what we had discussed in the very beginning when we talked about making this film. You know, I said, this is our lives, and I'm trusting you that this will end up to be the way we felt it, the way we lived it. And she was true to that promise. I think initially our coming together was a good thing. I think we're a good team. We trusted each other initially. And from that has grown what you were able to see today. I think...
My family thought I was nuts. She was nuts.
My family thought I was nuts. Yeah, in a nutshell, that was about it. And there are moments and points when we were working together and going through hard parts, and I thought I was nuts too. But I'm confirmed the way that it came together. Remind me again, was it how did we do what we feel and know, and how did we do the gay pride thing and all that stuff? Well, and I think I have to do some clarification here too. We went, and this is the part that probably my sons have the hardest part with the way that the film turned out. I mean, Tony didn't go because he didn't love his dad. And Parker and I didn't go because we were out to banner wave and, you know, be on a soapbox for homosexuality. We went because we were there to support other parents, friends, daughters, wives, husbands, children who are living with and loving members of their family who are in the same struggles that we were in. And we went to support them. That was the reason we went. Not to banner wave, not to make statements, not to... Because, to be very honest, I don't know if I could, if I had to give you exactly how I feel and what my feelings and opinions are, I'm still dealing with that in a lot of ways. So we went there out of sheer support for other people who were sharing our struggle. And the fact that Tony was brave enough not to go speaks volumes for his character. And the fact that Parker went with me speaks volumes for his character. I mean, I was proud of all of us, even though it made it look like there was conflict within our own family. There really wasn't. We were all just doing the best we could at the given moment we were in. And I'm the first one to tell you that I don't have all the answers for how you make things come together. I wished there were a magic formula. I wished I knew how to make that happen. It's a very individual, it's a very time-consuming, it's a very interest-invested process. And everybody's at their own place in their own process. And I think that's part of the reason why we felt so strongly about doing this film and making it be about just what it was and not what it could have been. It could have been about a number of issues. But we wanted to do it from our point that this was our family and our experience. This was simply the way we chose to deal with our experience and what we came to gain as a result of our going through that process. And I think that's why it's touched so many people, because it doesn't give answers and it doesn't tell you what to think. It allows you to think on your own. And everybody is coming to it with where they are in their own process. And that's why it's been effective, I think.
The message was certainly powerful, but I'd like to ask a couple of questions about the medium from Tasha. Whenever I see a documentary, I wonder how much of it is staged and how much of it happened in real time. Did your budget, for instance, allow you to fly a camera crew down to Mexico for the few seconds of footage we saw of the older son on his missionary, or was that something that was done before or whatever? The other question is maybe somewhat related to it. I detected in this and many other films manipulativeness, and I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way. I think as an artist, you try to mold, maybe is better than manipulate, mold people's feelings. And you do that through the filmmaker's technique of music and how you cut into and out of scenes and so on. You just talk a little bit about that.
Okay, before you give it to her, let me just say, I'm not easily molded. And if anybody had a hard thing to be up against, it was her being up against me. And if you want to know if anything was scripted, absolutely not. She came, we invited her into our home. She got what she got because that's what it was. Plain and simple. From my perspective, anyway.
We started really what budget? I mean, I was turned down by every single grant, every foundation.
Her indebtedness is the budget.
It was the most trying, difficult, dark. Because I knew it was an amazing story and it would be an amazing film. Yet. I don't know, first time filmmaker, I thought, you know, I had all the hot topics and I could not get a dime. I literally mean a dime from anyone.
Yeah. And now they would be really happy.
Yeah, it was a very, very hard thing. We were able to get services donated. My entire crew worked for free. We got the film donated by Kodak. We got all the equipment donated. We got local people to feed my crew. I mean, and my crew was in Utah. I was flying back and forth from LA, working full time as a script supervisor. That's how I was able to pay for the film. I work on a kids' television show called Even Stevens. And I work for just two of the most amazing men in the whole entire entertainment industry who were just so incredibly supportive and let me take off whenever I needed to from Christmas or, you know, Tony's farewell or whatever it may be. And so we started, to answer your question, we started shooting on film. And many of you may know film is a very, very invasive format where you need a big crew and you need lights and you need a sound person and you need a lot. And here's Kim in her first interview and, you know, standing upright and, you know, very proper. And we would turn the camera off and she'd just get animated and excited and this. And so we started doing this thing where we were telling her we were turning the camera off. And she was very wise. And she caught on to that. But what we decided to do was to give up shooting on film to get those intimate moments that you saw.
What?
Shooting on film.
Oh, she said, give up the damn film.
We just thought we'd just shoot. No. We started shooting on video, and it became just my cinematographer, Tali Boer, and myself shooting, or it'd just be me and using the existing sound on the Canon XL1 camera and just trying to be the fly on the wall mentality of, you know,
and
getting...
And that was easier because with the light people, and they would come in and they'd... Move
furniture and
things.
And you could feel that. You could feel that in the interviews, and you could feel that in the house when you had a lot of people. And I think we were able to capture those moments because it'd just be me, or it'd just be... It's a lot easier with two women, you know, in your house than eight. And Tony in Mexico, it was... The way that happened was I knew I had to go down there, and it was, Tony changed so much. It was me and my cinematographer, and we flew to Mexico in July in 98% humidity, and it was just, but it was amazing. Tony had grown so much, and we got like 6 to 8 hours of footage, and it was, it really, really kind of made the film come full circle, because you had a lot of we do a lot of cheats. We do. I mean, as far as like using Tony's voice, you know, which happened later, earlier, things like that. So, you know, just by the whole nature, I do agree that you do. I mean, just by the simple act of turning a camera on, you're manipulating a circumstance and you're just the way that you edit it. But we did want to pride ourselves in letting the audience come to it and draw their own conclusions. There was a lot more we could have done with the footage we had to make it a lot more sappier and sentimental, because we had all that stuff, but we tried to use a little bit of restraint.
Well, I don't know how you managed to hold the camera still during some of those heart-wrenching moments in Kim's family's life, and I want to give you a lot of credit for that, because I know you're there as a filmmaker, but also you had to be incredibly involved as well. And Kim, I just thought that the film makes the church look so great from my point of view, because it suggests that the church is able to produce families that love like your family did in the most amazing, amazing way. And I don't know if really the church is owed anything, or are you just, how did your religious upbringing in the church make it more possible for you to rise to the heights of love that you did, or is this just a tremendous gift, genetic gift, I guess you should say?
I say it's a combination of both of those things. I wished you could know my parents and my family. Because from them is where a lot of who I am came. I learned unconditional love in my family growing up. My father is a living angel who has been the prime influence as far as what it is to love and serve and dedicate your life to another person that you love. My mother has had years and years and years of medical and therefore emotional problems, and I have watched him stick by her and hold our family together. And from her, I learned what unconditional love and forgiveness really is. And when you consider that it was probably my parents and my family who probably could have and should have had the most vehement, violent reactions to Steve, and you consider that it wasn't, that says a lot. Now, so yes, I came to a lot of who I am from them, but they came to who they are from the things that they were taught and the principles of the gospel that they learned and that they taught in our home and that therefore I have taught in my own home. So combination of both really wonderful things. And I think the growth that we've all had in my family especially and in my extended family and Steve's extended family is learning how to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, because there are wonderful things to be had, who we are as a result of the things that we know. And I'll say that the reasons that Steve and I, and that I particularly made the choices I did, were based wholly on the things that I knew and believed and had been taught. And those came directly from the teachings of the church.
I just want to say I was pierced by that film. And Kim, thank you for opening your heart and your home and your doors to change people. I feel changed. I mean, I know it will have an effect on me. And thank you for the time and courage it took to go through a project you knew was right. My question is for you, Kim. I wonder if I heard you stand up in a testimony meeting 10 years ago, if and how your testimony would be different if I heard you stand up today.
Well, first of all, I'm pierced now where I hadn't been 10 years ago. I love those words. Thank you. Pierced and changed. I appreciate that. I really would hope, and I don't know, this is just Kim's perspective on Kim, but I would hope that those who knew me and heard me say 10 years ago the things that I said versus now the things that I would say are not really wholly all that different. The things that I said 10 years ago are the things that I still clarify now. I've never stood up in testimony meeting now or 10 years ago and ever said, I know the church is true. I've never said that. I've never felt that. It's not that I denied it or didn't believe it. But then as now, I believe that the church is human, and the church makes the gospel a lot harder than Christ ever intended it to be. And so what I said 10 years ago and what I say now are exactly the same thing. I believe the principles of the gospel to be true, and I know that that contains the pure love of Christ. And so that hasn't changed. What's probably changed is that my testimony is a little bit more realistic than maybe it was before. And that's a good thing, because it's realistic because I had to go searching for the things that I had been given, and then I had to determine which of those things I really felt and knew for myself. So the same, but with a more realistic twist and with a better understanding of having had to go through that process. I think that's a process everybody should have to go through, and I say that knowing that that process hurts, but it's also very beneficial as well. We never come to the things that we know and we value most without pain, and I don't know whether it's just our humanness that we don't get it unless it's painful. But so therefore I would wish a little bit of pain and a little bit of unsettledness in everybody's life.
I wasn't here for the screening. I did see it on PBS, and as I remember, there was a point in the film where they were considering Steve's membership. And as I was watching that, I was wondering, well, I'm glad I'm here, I can finally ask both of you, do you think that the fact that this film was being made had any influence on the decision of his membership? And could you maybe go into some detail on that?
Well, from my perspective, and you may be different, but absolutely not. Absolutely not. Our bishop and our stake president, and I have to say in their benefit, they were incredible about all the circumstances. As I look back and I kind of conjure what could have been and what kind of nightmare this could have been, I have to attribute the fact that it wasn't in large part to them. Both of them have very intimate, very close family circumstances that were very similar to mine. And so therefore, they got it maybe differently than others would have. But no, I don't think that motivated them. I think, and I'm hoping, that what motivated them is that I went to them personally. They were having a hard time with it to begin with. They were okay with both just letting it be. And yet I think they were getting pressure. Not, I don't know who, if they got pressure from anyone, but I think maybe internally they were thinking, in our positions, are we doing the right thing? And I think Steve and I had both come to the place where we felt like whatever it was that they felt like they needed to do to be okay with themselves and their positions was okay, because we felt we had come to the point where whatever happened would not affect the here, nor would it affect the later. But our children believed what we had taught them. And our children and our family hung together on the fact that we were fighting and we were doing all we could to prove that we loved each other enough that we wanted to be together forever. And we were clung and held together by that thread. And I felt very strongly that if they were to excommunicate their dad at this point, that would take away from them the only thing that had had them to hold on to. And I didn't think that it would undo them, but I didn't think that they'd had enough life experience yet to base the church's actions upon what they viewed as would be the ramifications for our here and our later. And so my plea was in their behalf, and I think that what happened or didn't happen was based largely upon their humanness of understanding that fact. So that's my perspective. I'll let Tasha say what she thinks.
Well, we came in after the fact, so... Yeah. It was a non-issue at that point. I don't know them that at all that personally, but they just weren't that excited the film was being made because they didn't know me and they didn't trust me like Kim did. So that's all I have to say. No, because the decision was already made when I came in.
It had already been done.
Right. And then I approached the bishop and stake president about...
And that was
later. Right. I approached them about discussing it with me. And right.
Yes.
That's great filmmaking. Can you tell I'm so modest? Great editing, I should say.
Spiritual men, in tune spiritually on an individual basis. And I think that they were directed by their own hearts as well as the dictates of the surrounding circumstances. And two, I think they were sensitive to the humanness of the whole situation and therefore fair in their judgment of how they handled it. And I appreciated that because they didn't have to do it that way.
I worked on Sunstone West in Pasadena this last year, and we were so blessed to have this miracle of a film drop into our laps, because what we had envisioned for our closing session fell through completely. And Maxine sent me Tasha's number, and we started talking about this film, and I thank you. I mean, it was just amazing to be able to screen that there. My question is about the humor in this. You're dealing with a very difficult, weighty subject, and yet there are some really wonderful, lighter moments in that. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
It was absolutely crucial. It's a really hard film to watch, as many of you know, and we knew that. We knew that we had to have peaks and valleys and give people a rest, because it's just so hard to take in, and we wanted people to be able to breathe and to have these moments of Parker jumping in the pool and just the silliness of it and Kim's great humor, and that's their lives. So we wanted to try and incorporate that into the film of, you know, that it's not all sad and depressing and tragic. I've never seen Kim's story that way. I've always went in from the first day I met her and saw it as, you know, inspirational and hopeful and, you know, just such a blessing. And that's what I wanted to capture in the film, was how this family was dealing with it and how, you know, I would go over there and there were smiles. And I remember, you know, when I heard that Steve had passed and I called up on the phone and I was so distraught, and Parker answered the phone and said, "This is a happy house. We're all happy here." And I just didn't even know how to deal with that. And because that's how they dealt with it, is, you know, Kim had said they wanted to celebrate his life, not the death. And that's what we wanted to incorporate within this really, which could be quite morbid, scene of them going to the cemetery, of, you know, the humor of the pinwheel. And, you know, it wasn't planned. That was just their life. They were very funny people.
That wasn't intended humor. That was just pure opinion. Absolutely anything plastic, and I will come back to haunt you.
So we wanted that, just to kind of give an audience a break and be able to, just when I couldn't take it anymore, give that humor and that breath and then go back. And we worked really, really, really hard with two of the most brilliant editors. I mean, I really have to attribute a lot to them. As a first-time filmmaker, they made me look very good. Two veteran filmmakers who are very, 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 did justice to the film. So it's definitely not all in me. That's why when I said earlier, brilliant filmmaking, it's very much phenomenal editors at hand. And an amazing co-producer.
Very much.
Yeah. She gave us great material. I have to say that, too. It was all great, which is why I needed great editors. I went in with over 100 hours of footage and 50 hours of the most amazing home movies, and I loved every single minute of it. I did. I was completely enraptured in everything Kim ever said, and I needed these editors to come in objectively and say, yeah, I know you love it, but it's got to go, because we can't make an 8-hour documentary here. So
footage, we can make it that.
Yeah. A lot of requests. Yeah. 3 years. Just under 3 years we were with the family. And we edited while we were still shooting.
Okay, help me rephrase your question. What do I tell my children? Okay. What do I teach my children about homosexuality, and what do I teach them about how two diametrically opposed things can come together when they don't? And they don't. But they can, and they could. And I think that's what I try to help my children and myself understand, is, and back to my don't, you don't have to, because they don't, doesn't mean we have to throw everything else that does fit out.
I think my children taught themselves a lot about what they knew, about what they had been taught about homosexuality. And I have to say, I was one of the people that, regrettably, I have to tell you, that before this happened and became my own experience, I stood in judgment of people. And I said things, did things that now I wished I could take back because they were hurtful. And now I understand how hurtful they were. But my kids, like myself, could see the difference between what we were told about homosexuality and what their dad wasn't. And they were bright enough to see and come to an understanding on their own. I think we've lived outside of Utah for the majority of their lives. We came back, I guess it's been 8 years now. So the majority of their young growing up experience took place outside of here. And our home, and my home growing up, was always filled with all kinds of people. People who thought the way we did, people who didn't. People who were members of the church, people who weren't. People that had all kinds of different views. That was a gift that my parents gave to me in my growing up. And that was a gift that Steve and I both were determined that we wanted to pass on to our children. And so they were surrounded just in our circumstances, in our work environment and in our living situation, they were surrounded by all different kinds of people. And we tried to help them celebrate the differences in people and realize that that's a good thing, that being different and being unique and being strong enough to stand up for what you feel is really right is a good thing. That those kinds of teachings, did those kinds of teachings inflect their... Well, I'm not so sure that place is always happy. That place is always conflicted. I think, and I have to be very honest in telling you this, there is difference of opinion in our home. I mean, we're not all on the same page here. I don't think we all have the same answers. I don't think we all understand it all. And so we're all at different places in our individual opinions about homosexuality, about all of these kinds of issues. We're in different spots. And the nice thing is that we can all be in different spots and we can all get along just great. And that we can allow each other to feel the way we feel and not criticize or try to sway opinion. So I don't know. You'd have to ask my kids that question. But I look at my older son especially, who's probably more down the line of my two kids, and it's not that that makes him better or worse, or it makes my other better or worse, it's just that we're all different. I think he probably has the hardest struggle trying to keep everything together the way he knows it, and yet be still wanting to step out of what is to what he knows because of the love and because of the experience he's had. So I think in a way it's affected him more, and yet I admire him more for the fact that he can still balance all those things together and hold it together in a way that's comfortable for him. And that's the way my other son deals with it as well. Can I do this? Because I never have and probably won't ever be a deacon.
Well, you might be if my wife has anything to say about it. But my question is actually pretty simple. Do you feel like this film helped you deal with the issues that came up? And another just slightly related question, now that the filming is done and you're back to whatever normal life is, how has making the film helped you adjust to
the adjustments that need to be made now?
You said that was a simple question. It wasn't. It isn't.
It's easy to ask. It's harder to answer.
Yes, the film helped as a process of catharsis. I mean, because there was a beginning and there was a very emotional process in the middle, and now it's come to a conclusion. And so the conclusion of the film has been kind of a good analogy to the conclusion of a very hard part in our life. And it has brought some closure to me and to the boys and to all of our family members, I think, about the process of losing Steve and coming to grips with that. Now, help me with the other part. And has it helped me?
Has it helped you make the transition into the life you have now? And I guess the other follow-up is, where do you go from here?
You know, if I had the answer to that, or if you could give me the answer to that, I could pay you about anything I had, which isn't a whole lot, by the way. Hard. In a way, and as I look back at this film today, it has been a good thing for me to watch it again, because I've seen it 1,000 times, and every time I see it, I see something and I feel something different. Today, my thought of looking back and seeing it and feeling it was confirming in the fact that today was not a good day for me. I woke up depressed, discouraged, disgruntled, you know, and I look back at me saying, life's going to be good, almost, you know, almost good, so watch out. I'm glad I saw that today, because I don't feel like that person, or I haven't felt like that person today. And many days, I don't feel as happily ever after as I felt when that film ended. And that's a good thing, to remember that I have felt that way, and that I know that with the effort and with the dedication to making the changes that I need to do, or whatever it is it takes, that I can get to be that person. So today my own confirmation came from that own ending, is that, yeah, maybe it's going to make a big difference in how I live the rest of my life from here on out. And it's been hugely wonderful to me to be able to have... I mean, I did this whole film thing really rather naively, and she'll be the first one to tell you. I kept saying to her, you know, this is our life and our feelings and our thoughts, and we get them because we lived them. But are people going to get this? You know, and I kept asking her over and over and over and over again. And she kept telling me, yes, people are going to get this, and people are going to start recognizing you. And I just thought, we'll just kind of tell our story, and then we'll go happily, quietly along with the rest of our lives and live it like we always have. And it's been a real slap in the face, a good one, to realize that this has touched people and that people get it. It's been wonderful for me to realize that people, I didn't give people and human nature enough credit for their ability to be sensitive and understanding and supportive. And so it's been a wonderful experience for me to kind of have back that gift in such a confirming way.
I have to make a comment about getting it, because in a small way I feel like I share something with you, because I'm in a sense I'm a survivor of infidelity, and I would have given anything to have saved my first temple marriage, and I've watched the film 3 times, and when you talked about beginning when you were making the film, you talked about your agenda and talking about women living with men who are gay, and it was interesting when I watched it the first time. I cried through the whole thing, and I'm here. I'm at BYU visiting, doing dissertation research, and the morning after I watched it, I was at BYU, and I was standing in line with these two gentlemen who were talking about it, and the three of us were in line
And we started talking, and we were in tears crying. We're in tears talking about this film, which surprised me at BYU. And in a way, I think, and I don't know if you realize this, but I think you trumped your agenda, and I think in the long run, I think you're going to have far more impact in that. And having watched him more and more and more, and having gone through my own experience with infidelity, I just the Christ-like love that you showed. And having experienced that myself, that to me is what this gospel is about. And that's what I really got from this film. And that is so far more important than any agenda. And if people can come away with that, that is so wonderful. And I applaud you for that. And I don't know if, I don't know if that's what, if you intended to do. But I think you've been blessed in that, and I really applaud you for that.
Thank you very much. I have every day I spent with Kim and her family, and I would do this reflection on the plane home. The first thing I said was I was incredibly blessed to have stumbled upon this family and to have had the wherewithal to follow my heart, because I had gotten financing for Sisters of Zion and had really an obligation to make that film, and I just knew I had to make this other film. And I didn't know, I mean, I knew that Kim and her family had definitely embodied Christ-like, characteristics and forgiveness and unconditional love and all those things. And I think in many ways we accomplished a lot of the goals I wanted to set out to do with Sisters of Zion, which were to dispel the myths about who the Mormons are through their women. And right here we have a woman who does that. And I don't think I really had an agenda with the Smith family as I did with Sisters of Zion, but in just so many ways, through the family, a lot of it was addressed in a kind of side route, and it's harder to now go back to Sisters of Zion. I mean, I still want to make that film with someone else's money this time, not mine. Yeah, right over.
I have to tell you that the fact that you get it, and you get it on that level, and that's the highest compliment. And I think that I want you not to be surprised that two men, Mormon men, at BYU, or that Mormon in general, can't feel. They do. We do. And it's a good thing. And it's a good thing that could be serving a better purpose, a more fuller purpose than it is right now. So thank you. That's the confirmation. That's the reason that we did this whole thing in the first place. And so I appreciate you recognizing that.
I have a couple of questions, so listen up. There'll be a test. First of all, Kim, you spent a lot of time in this film explaining your belief about your families being able to survive past death and that you will be together. My first question is, do you have any hopes for how that will be? Do you see in your heart of hearts that in the next life when your family is together, Steve will be different? Or do you envision that your family will go on pretty much as it has on this earth? Second question, what counselor advice would you give to homosexual people who are in the church?
Wow. Can I take it for no credit and pass?
It's already passed.
Thank you. You know, that's the first time that anybody has ever addressed that first question in the way that you just did. Do I think that we will be together here on after? And especially, do I think that it'll be the way I want it to be hereafter? Good question. I've never had to answer this, so here goes. I hope I do it well. Absolutely, yes. I think that if we're here in mortality for the purpose of proving to whoever it be, the Lord, that we will do the things that we promise to do, that yes, I think we've done everything we can do to prove the fact that we love each other and that our greatest desire would be together as an intact unit from here on out. I tried to prepare my kids for situations just like this. As things were deteriorating and I was trying to prepare them for situations that they might come in contact with after we lost Steve, and especially in situations with people, members of the church, I said to them, you cannot be critical or judgmental of people who, in from their own best experience, may say something like this to you. You know, you're a great family. You had everything going for you. You were talented. You loved each other. And it's really too bad that your dad screwed up and that you won't be together forever. I tried to prepare them for that. And I tried to tell them that in that, if it happened, they couldn't judge those people because they were only speaking from their own experience. Well, happily, I have to tell you, that's never happened. Although I have had people say to me, Kim, you know, you were true. You were valiant. And therefore, in the end, you know, everything will work out so that you'll be happy in the end. And I appreciate that for the love that it's intended. But, you know, how could I be happy with any other person except the one that I went to hell and back with? So my opinion and my desire is, one, that yes, we'll be together, and two, will we be together in the view that I have in my head? I hope so, because I feel, and I'll just, and this is something that I've never shared on Steve's behalf before. He said to me once, that all of the heartache that has come as a result of this circumstance with him, which he felt very confirmed that he never chose, and which I agree 100% he never chose, he said to me once, this is the one thing that makes me feel like I can't get to be the potential of all that I could be or all that we could be. And he said, and when I say that, I don't want to create any feelings there, because I don't think he was, I think he was speaking from his heart, and I think he was being sincere. Let me go a different direction, because I'm digging a hole here. Based on the love that Steve and I had and have for each other, we, because of our experiences, have gotten to a depth of love that very few people ever find. It was hard won, but it's unique and it's wonderful. And I think if in our existence hereafter, Steve and I can truly love each other in all senses, not just emotionally, not just spiritually, but physically, the way that our hearts tell us and make us feel that we love each other, that yes, everything will work out so that we'll have that.
She loves this question.
Well, I don't know if I have any advice, but I do have a very strong opinion, and that is through my experience in dealing with people, all people, regardless of sexual preference or orientation. Everybody deserves the right to love and be loved in return. And I don't think it's fair for anybody to dictate who it is that you love or who loves you in return. So that's what I say. Now, that's not advice. That's just my own opinion. And I think if we could all get to that place and be less critical about the ways and means, that we'd all be able to be a lot happier and a lot more comfortable in our circumstances.
One more question. Oh, maybe we'll make it two questions.
I guess I'm kind of cheating since I was up here before, but I'm interested in Buddhism, and one of its basic tenets is every aspect of every experience of mind and body is suffering. And you mentioned that you feel that wisdom comes through suffering, that everything valuable that you've learned has come through suffering. And when I listen to you talk about your hopes for happiness in the next life, I guess I'm curious as to why you'd think that the suffering would stop then. And you say, how could I be happy with anyone except the person I've been to hell and back with? You know, are you willing to find that out? I've been disappointed so many times in my life, and I believe passionately in the scripture, he who shall save his life shall lose it, and he who shall lose his life shall find it. What do you do with the possibility that you will have to be happy in a different way? Can you lose that vision of happiness and be willing to find something else?
Boy, you guys are good and you're hard. I don't know. The only thing I can say to you is that through this experience, I have learned that I'm a lot stronger person than I ever would have calculated. I have been through experiences that I had to eat a lot of words. I remember saying, you know, if you ever this or you ever that. And I think that each one of us individually are a lot stronger than we ever give ourselves credit for. And so I'm hoping that since I've been able to grow through this experience and to come to a place where I never thought I could be, I'm hoping that if the scenario was different than I envision it to be, that I will be okay and that I will be able to come to wherever that is. And I think we all have that potential, and we don't focus enough on that until something happens that forces us to. I don't know.
Any one last question? Oh, Maxine.
Comment and a question. When I watched the film on TV, I just sat and, I mean, I just sobbed. I just completely, the film completely broke me down. And I just sobbed out loud for about, I don't know, 40 minutes. But, Tasha, congratulations. I'm so proud of you. I knew it was going to be great, and it is. And so anyway, I have just a comment. The film, and then a question that I want to ask him. The film, for me, brilliantly did two amazing things that have hardly ever been done, if they have been done. It brilliantly portrayed this incredible, as Troy put it, paradox or contradiction or dichotomy that Mormonism is. And it's, you know, liberals and feminists have been trying to explain this for 30 years, and the film powerfully not only portrayed that impossible dichotomy that is so hard for all of us to sometimes straddle, but then it also presented at the same time this incredible resolution through Kim's life and her own personal ability to embody and straddle that impossible opposition. And I was blown away that you could do either one of those things in a film, but both of them. And Kim, I don't know if there is any greater love. I think that you managed to show all of us the ultimate love a human being can experience. I experienced it vicariously in watching you. And it, I just felt completely one with God and with you. And I know I'm going to ask a difficult question, although maybe you've already, I think you've already answered this beautifully, but from another angle. Given all that you've been through and what you have become, the amazing divine being that you have found within yourself, if you could go back 25 years and choose what to do, whether to go down this path again or to change, go a different path, what would you do?
I hope I would do the same thing over again. I think I would do the same thing over again. Just to give you a little bit of different understanding into my life, prior to knowing Steve, I was involved with a man for 3 years and was very serious with him and very much in love with him, and met Steve after we had broken up. And it was a very convoluted thing of, you know, being in love with two people and really having to make a choice. And my own confirmation had come to where I felt like my life would have been happy in both situations. But I felt confirmed that I should make my life with Steve, which I did. And my father had a very powerful confirmation. Now, I've already explained to you that, you know, I don't think there's anybody who has a more direct line to heaven than my dad does, and he had this confirmation as well. Well, I say that so that now we can fast forward to a few years, and Steve and I and our family are in the situation that we're in. And I remember the first thing that I thought when Steve started making these trips to individual family members, I thought, when he goes to tell my dad this, my dad's going to think that he really screwed up. And that confirmation that he had felt so strongly and that I had felt so strongly was not valid. And that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And so that was a very confirming thing. And then I had an opportunity to be in touch again with this man that I so loved and that I still love. A few years ago, while Steve was still here, we got together, and I looked forward to that opportunity, but I dreaded it. I thought, what if after I've been with him and we talk and he had called me because he had learned of the circumstance and was devastated. And so he approached me and we got together, and I thought, what will I do if after I spend some time with him, I realize, man, you really screwed up. You made a mistake. But I came away from that with another confirmation that in spite of the hard parts, I had made the right decision. And there was no regretting at all. So I'm hoping, based on those things, that I would have done it the same way again.
Thank you all for coming. I just wanted to...
I'm
going to Italy, actually, really.
She's not taking me with her.
I'm going to Italy for 4 weeks. I'm just feel drawn there. I don't know why, a story to tell or something, but I need a break after 3 years of 18-hour days, 7 days a week. I just want to make say two things. I highly encourage you guys to visit pbs.org. and go into POV. It's pbs.org/POV, and put in the Smith family and read all and join the discussion. It's hysterical. It's funny stuff. It's quite entertaining. You get caught up in it. And if you're interested in purchasing the video, you can visit my mother in the turquoise shirt back here at the table, and we would love for you to buy the video. And
love even more is to put together a DVD, but we need somebody with lots of money.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen next with the film? We're going to go from there and have this big exposure.
It's done its route on TV, and now we're hoping to get it out internationally. And also do a lot of community screening such as this and promote discussion, and hopefully we want to kind of generate a community fund so Kim and I can fly out all around the country and be a part of discussions like this and really open up that dialogue and have it continue far beyond.
So what about opportunities for you now? What kind of opportunities coming to you?
She should have.
There's stuff brewing, but nothing quite yet. Hopefully the next film will be easier to get made once I find out what it is, but we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, you know, I have to laugh. This is so funny. I didn't even think when I gave her that picture. You know, there we are both in flight suits, and we're standing there at the airplane. I'm saying, and we were on our way to an aviation career. Well, it wasn't my career. This was a petticoat. This was a day that the wives got to get dressed up in the flight suits and take a high-speed run down the runway. So I would love to say, yes, I'm a pilot, but I just happened to be in a uniform that day. Many people have asked that, which I think is just hilarious.
Thank you all for coming.